And you're thinking, that's not normal. Well, so what? It's not written in the Bible, is it? If you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand, please? If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. Hi. You need a Bible in our church? If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, please. Okay, turn your Bible with me to Mark chapter 14. And before we start, let me make an announcement. Pastor Jack's going to do it anyway later. May 11th, next week, this coming Thursday, we are going to have Agape Feast. And, you know, wondering what is Agape Feast? It's just a fancy kind of theological name for the potluck or just party. We have a bunch of party animals. We, Calvary Chapel's nickname is Calorie Chapel. We eat a lot. So we get together around 6:30. Everybody brings up food, and we eat other people's food and get together for fellowship time and then start somewhere around 7:15 to have a teaching and worship. May 4th. Yeah, May 4th. And the May 11th, we are going to watch a movie, Da Vinci Code Deception. It's about the movie that shows what kinds of fiction, what is a fiction, what is a fact in that Da Vinci Code. So bring your friend who believe that Da Vinci Code is real, or bring your neighbors who wonder about the Da Vinci Code. It's a free, all free, and bring your popcorn, soda pop, whatever you want. It's a normal movie watching thing. So kick back and we'll enjoy the movie. Okay, let's start. Mark chapter 14, verse 1. Worshiping the Lord is more than just singing a few songs. It should supposed to come from the heart of the believers of Jesus Christ. Let's start at the verse, and keep your finger right there, and let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 23. Some of you guys know this by heart. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. True worship to our Lord Jesus Christ requires our time, our lives, our devotion, and even money. It requires everything within us. Among the Bible characters, in my opinion, among all the Bible characters, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, three people stand out when it comes to worship and devotion to their God. Number one would be King David. And you're thinking, he sinned. Well, you sin, I sin, but we still worship God, right? King David, Prophet Daniel. He never strayed from the worshiping God. And the last person is Mary from Bethany. Bible does not record a whole lot about this woman. There's not even a whole lot of conversation went on between her and other people. Very few, small amount. Yet, this person is lifted very high within the biblical characters. Let's start at verse 1. We will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you including us in your plan. We are just plain grateful, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise for what you're doing in our lives. Not only that, for what you're doing in our lives, also we praise your name for who you are. And let us continuously serve you with all our heart, and let us continuously love you with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, with everything within us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, After 2 days, it was Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said nothing, and not during the feast, lest there be uproar of people. This event took place 6 days before the Passover, and which would put the Friday before the triumphal entry. And so, in other words, this portion, this very portion from verse 1 of chapter 14 to verse 9, should be located in before chapter 11, triumphal entry. And you're saying, why do they put this in such an unchronological order? Remember, our Western mind think everything in chronological order. So chapter 14 should be located time-wise behind chapter 11. However, this Middle Eastern people not really concerned about chronological order. Not only that, that's not the only reason, but also he has a reason for it. He's putting this stark contrast between what the Mary is going to do and what Judas is going to do with the religious leaders. The religious leaders, they are trying to kill Jesus, but Mary trying to praise and worship the Lord. It's a stark contrast, and it's more meaningful for us to see what Mary is doing. The 4th of July in America is a celebration. Passover, that is more than a celebration to them. It is coming from the deliverance by God for the people of Israel from the slavery of Egypt. God delivered them and gave them special meaning that their sins have been forgiven. They passed over their death was passed over them and end up in the doorstep of the Egyptians. So what they do is during this time they reenact the deliverance of the God for the Israeli people. They sing the great Jewish songs. This festival thing has happened, and then that means that many all the males within 15-mile radius around Jerusalem will come to Jerusalem. That means population will swell up to 3 times more than normal population in Jerusalem. Not only from the within 15 miles radius, and also there will be people coming from many different countries. So as I said before, it's a festival. However, this time, this year, particular year, was not so festival inside of Temple Mount. Why? Because these religious leaders is planning, conspiring to murder a man, innocent man that is, Jesus Christ. They will do everything they can try to kill this man because he is a major threat to their political position and economical position. So, at this Passover, it's a completely different story. We'll pick it up at verse 3. Being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil, spikenard. Then she broke the flask, and poured it on his head. Both friend and the enemy heading to the same direction, that is a cross. Enemy, Judas and the religious leaders, they're coming from the mind of a dark side, and they have a greed. However, the friend, Mary of Bethany, coming from with the love and the light, the way of the light. They're heading to the same direction. Mary is preparing for the burial, and they're trying to kill him, execute him. How do we know this is Mary? It does not say anything about the name of the woman. If you mark it, then maybe you can note it there. John chapter 12, verse 3. And when you look at it there, you will note that this woman's name is Mary. Now, this is not the same occasion that you would find in Luke chapter 7, where the sinful woman coming into this Pharisee's home, where she should break the alabaster flask and anoint his feet and cry her tears and wipe his feet with her hair. This is not the same occasion. At this point, Mary has one concern, loving Jesus, praising Jesus, worshiping him. She's not concerned about her own sin. That's a side thing. Yes, she knows that Jesus forgave her sin. Folks, as I said before in a prayer, it is a good thing to praise God and worship God for what he's done for us. Correct? But let's not forget to praise and worship him for who he is. He is Almighty God, after all. He is the master of the universe. He is the author and the finisher of our faith and life. God bless you. She is not ashamed of her lavish display of love for him. And it is interesting that she did not hold anything back. She broke the alabaster flask. When she broke it, there's no way she can hold it back. She could drip a couple drops on his head. And nobody would say, that's terrible. Why doesn't she dump the whole thing on his head? After all, this is a very expensive one. She broke the whole thing, broke the alabaster flask, and dumped the whole thing on his head. She didn't hold anything back. That means whole devotion, complete praise, coming from the bottom of her heart to her Savior and Lord. Verse 4. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil, underline next word, wasted? Please. Wasted. For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. They criticized her sharply. Yes, it was expensive offering she gave to the Lord. Genuine fragrant oil that I found out about this kind of thing is made from the dry leaves of the rare and unique Himalayan plants. Himalayan is in the Tibet and China area, so he had to transfer the long distance. This particular alabaster flask she used, if it was used like any other ointment flask, itself is already pretty, I was told, but she had this valuable thing. This worth about 300 denarius. One denarius is about one person's day's wage. So in other words, this lady, the Mary, just spent 300 days wage on him. She did not hold anything back. Just for fun of it, just to see what kinds of perfume are expensive in the world. So I got on the internet and checked around. So this is what I found. Known as a Cleve Christian from the Saks Fifth Avenue in New York, of course. Some of you ladies shop there, right? And the guy's thinking, you did? Guess how much that perfume is? Exquisite smell, I was told. $2,150. And you're thinking, it must come in 50-gallon drums. Uh-uh. 1 ounce. 1 ounce. This alabaster flask most likely is about a pound. That means 12 liquid ounce. So, if you want to buy that thing for your wife, folks, you need roughly somewhere around $25,000. Ladies, go buy one. You can get it from the internet. Gospel of John tells us that Judah is the one who led a grumbling within the rank of disciples. Why did he do that? Because he had something different thing in his mind. He's the one who selfishly wants to keep some money for himself. Let's go to John chapter 17, verse 12. John chapter 17, verse 12. I should underline the word wasted in verse 5 in the book of Mark, chapter 14. That word, waste, is the same word that we will find in verse 12 of chapter 17. When I was with them in the world, Jesus speaking, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, underlined perdition. That's the same Greek word that you would find in as a wasted. So what I'm trying to say, Judas was rebuking Mary for wasting money on Jesus, but meanwhile, he was wasting entire life of his. Folks, some people say worshiping God is a cheesy. Worshiping the Lord is not a cool thing. You think that? Let's think about these four things. As she broke Elizabeth's flask, poured out the anointment on Jesus, she showed us about true worship. I wrote it down of four things about true worship. First one comes from brokenness. She broke the alabaster flask. She didn't hold anything back. Let's go to Psalm 34, verse 18. You might be thinking, can't you just not show on the screen? Yeah, I can. Before your own God, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible so you get to learn the Bible. Wow, what a concept in the church. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite heart. Let's read one more time. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite heart. And also in another portion says he will not dismiss the who has a broken heart and contrite spirit. He loves the one who is brokenhearted because they will cling on to God. And when we have a broken heart, we run to God humbly, truly humbly, come to him and worship him and rely on him. Second point I'd like to bring to you is true worship is often costly. It cost 300 days of wage for Mary. When I watch you guys or when I watch other people in a different church, when I visit some other congregation, I see many different group of people. Some people just, they are literally in the throne room. They're worshiping God. Some people stand there looking at time, going this, could care less about what kind of song they're singing. While other people are clapping their hands and say, I'm not clapping my hands. It looks weird. Why are you worshiping God? Why? Let's go back. What's the definition of worship? Is that for you or is that for God? If it's not for you, what does it matter what kind of image you portray to yourself or to other people? So when we worship God with all of your heart and mind and soul. So when you sing next time, sing our worship songs next time, let it come from here. Let it be your love song from here to his heart. See what happens. I guarantee you, your heart will be changed. Praise team, worship team, they are good. They are not here to perform their musical skill. We are not here to listen to them or just clap their hands. They are joining us. We have one audience, folks. One person. That is God. Who listens to our worship and prays to him. And that pleases him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Until we truly understand that worshiping him in spirit and truth, we cannot enter into the presence of Him. Does it cost you? Yes, it costs you something. Your self-image. And somebody might think that, wow, you're fanatic. So what? If somebody called you Jesus freak, say, thank you. Consider it as a medal. True worship is often misunderstood. True worship is often misunderstood. Just like the people around Mary criticized, scrutinized her, when you worship God with all your heart, mind, and soul, people will say, huh, okay, you know, one of those, huh? Worship is not just coming to church, singing a few songs. Worship your lifestyle, the way you live, the way you, what you do with your money, what you do in the church, what you do in your workplace and around your neighbor, even inside of your own bedroom. As I said before, the spiritual maturity cannot be measured in front of other people, but it can be measured behind closed door while nobody's watching. What you do behind closed door is a true spiritual maturity. Number four, true worship is always beneficial. When she broke the alabaster flask, the smell went all over the house. People around the entire house could smell that fragrance. When you worship the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, not only you get benefit, but the people around get to know the presence of God. Continue in verse 6. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do to them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Now, please note that Mary didn't defend herself here in front of the disciples, so-called pious disciples. But she simply did what she was led to do by the Holy Spirit. And she just kept her mouth shut. And she let Jesus defend her. And he did. If we do what is right in the sight of God according to his way, you can guarantee that God will defend you no matter what. You don't have to go out and defend yourself. Besides, God doesn't charge you $200 per hour either. You have a best attorney in the universe. No matter what others may say, our worship service and worship and the service is the most important thing that we do to Him. To please the Lord. We are here to please the Lord. We are created for His what? Pleasure. The fact is that other people will misunderstand, will criticize you, will scrutinize you, and they will make fun of you. But show our love to Him in worship, in our lifestyle. Our concern should be His approval alone, nothing else. By the way, how did Mary know that He's going to die? And she was preparing for His burial. While the disciples were busy arguing who's going to be the best in the kingdom of God, the second best, that is, she was listening to Jesus. We find her three times before the crucifixion. Each time we find her at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him. Do you listen to Him? Do you listen to what voice of God speaking to you through this word every day? And you say, well, I don't have time. Really? Can we sit down and take a look at your schedule? I bet you have time to read a newspaper. I bet you have time to watch stupid TV. Just like I do. But you don't have time for God, that's not an excuse. As a matter of fact, that's a really, really bad excuse. Try to come up with something better. There's a few things that worship is not. Number one, worship is not mumbling of prayers or mouthing the praise and worship songs with a little thought and less heart. We need to celebrate our God when we join together earnestly in prayer and intensely in songs. So now you're getting the picture. Why in the world the pastor allowed we sing just two songs and the rest of them behind? I'm going to ask you to sing your heart out to the Lord. Second one, worship is not begrudging the offering the money that we are allowed to have from the Lord. And you're thinking, that's the point. You want money. No. That's between you and God. I don't even ask you to give money to here. It's not your money anyway from the beginning. When we use our financial resource for His work, we become a part of His master plan. What can be better than that? Third point, worship is not distract the endurance of sermon. And you say, bingo, I'm bored of gore. If you open your heart to receive, as the Bible says, let him who has an ear, let him hear the word of God. If you come here to listen from the word of God, from the God Himself, you will hear, I guarantee you. Because I will prepare the word with by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you will not leave this place not being fed. You will receive. But if you come here to do the religious duty, you will not get anything. You just waste hour and a half worship service time. What a sad time, sad thing to do. You don't hear anything from God. It's your choice. Worship is not feeling like being forced to live in uncorrupted life. That means we need to live holy life. It's not just things that come here and doing our things on Sunday morning, but living for Him. What kinds of life? Well, read the Bible. You'll know. Living for Him that goes against the grain of what the world says. Living holy life, including living righteous. Not deceiving one another. And some people say, well, is that including not having sex before marriage? Yes. Hello. That's a given. Verse 9. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. If it was not, it were not for the Mary, many people would not know what the Bethany, where is the Bethany is. Because of her, because she lived in Bethany, gospel, whenever gospel is preached, remember her as Mary of Bethany. Just like Jesus said, whenever we study the gospel, there are three gospels mentioned about Mary. As a matter of fact, all four gospels mention about not only this incident, about Mary, Mary's devotion to Jesus Christ. Disciples long for the fame and the position and influence. That's why they argue with one another all the time. Meanwhile, Mary was simply adoring God, adoring Jesus, and worshiping Him and loving Him. Guess who had the better position? Mary. And I know what your lady's thinking. You're thinking, girls better than boys. Okay, whatever. So I make a challenge to you guys. Oh, stop it, Tina. how pure, how deep, how lavish is your love for Christ. Let me repeat one more time. How pure, how deep, how lavish is your love for Christ. If it can be bottled, would that be a sweet fragrance? Or would that be stench on his, to him? Because we are not willing to give him ourselves or selfishness. By the way, just for the side note, God can use anyone. God will take anyone's worship if it comes from straight from the heart of the believers. You don't have to be a special person to worship God. You worship God from your heart to him. Love song to him. Our worship in our lives should be a lavish display of our love to Jesus because he alone deserves it all. So people of God, as soon as I finish, the worship team is going to come back and going to worship, lead the worship again. Sing to him as if you've never done it before. Sing to him from your heart. You know what? When you sing to him from your heart, the ceiling will not stop you. Your worship and your praise will go right through from here to the throne room. Don't worry about what other people might say. Forget about them. And forget, as a matter of fact, forget about what you think about yourself. But think about what God thinks about you. When God smiles at you, that's all matters. Let's stand up and continue to worship the Lord. Worship.